Gospel of John in chapter 1. Again, to see what we can find about the Lord Jesus here. I'll open in a word of prayer and then we'll have a look at John chapter 1. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the day. Thank you that we can sing how we love Jesus because he first loved us. And what a blessing that is. Thank you that he showed that by coming and dying on Calvary's tree for us and making that way for us to get to heaven. We praise you for that. And Lord, as we stop and consider the Lord Jesus tonight, let us once again be drawn to him, be so thankful for him, and want to live and love him, and Lord, do our very best for him. And so we ask for your help this night in revealing our Savior to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and really the whole Gospel, John the Apostle wants to reveal to his readers his friend, his Lord, his Savior, and also his God. And especially chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, we have a beautiful picture of the Gospel or an explanation of the Gospel as he reveals to us his friend, his Lord and Savior and God. And we're going to have a look at what John has to say about the Lord Jesus Christ here in these first 14 verses. And so let's have a look at what we find here. And the first thing that John reveals to us or shows us about the Lord Jesus Christ is Christ's deity. And I'd like to read verses 1 to 4, where we have, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And so John refers to the Lord Jesus as the Word. Last week we saw how he is referred to as the door. But today we have the Word. And this isn't the only time that the Apostle John refers to the Lord Jesus as the Word. You can turn them up if you're quick enough, but I've already marked it in my Bible, so it's easier for me. But in 1 John chapter 5, in his epistle in verse 7, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word," referring to Jesus, "and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And so John refers to him as the Word there in his epistle. And then we also know that John was inspired by God to write the book of Revelation. And in chapter 19, in verse 13, we read this, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood," referring to Jesus, "and his name is called the Word of God." And so three times he is referred to as the Word of God. And referring to Jesus as the Word is, I would say, brilliance on the part of God. Because the Word is a wonderful description of the Lord Jesus. For example, first thing is, a word is a way of revealing something that is invisible. A word reveals things that are invisible. Let me give you an example. I'm picturing an animal at the moment in my mind, all right? And if I close my eyes, I can picture it, I can see it, I can see its shape, I can see its color, I can imagine it. But you have no idea, do you? You might be able to guess, but you can't picture or see what I am seeing in my mind. It's invisible. But if I take my thought and I wrap it in a word, the word zebra, all of a sudden, you can picture what I'm picturing. You can understand what I have been picturing in my mind in the invisible realm. And that's what words do. They reveal the invisible. And we know that God is the invisible God. And Jesus is the one who revealed the invisible God to us so that we can know the invisible God. We can picture the invisible God. And I don't know what your picture is of God, as you read the Word of God and you look at the Lord Jesus, and I suspect that when I see God in all His glory, He's going to look very different to how I'm picturing, but we can get a glimpse of the invisible God if we want to just have a look at the Lord Jesus. He reveals the invisible. Also, when we think about words, they also are a way of communicating our feelings and our desires. I can sit here and say nothing, and you might wonder what I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, and so on. But if I start using my words, I can express to you maybe what I'm thinking about, how I'm feeling, if I'm happy, sad, upset, or excited, depending on the words that I use. It's my words that can reveal or communicate what's going on in the inside. And that's what Jesus does as well. He communicates to us, for one, the will of God. We can know what God wants by looking at the Lord Jesus. We can see His knowledge. We can see through the Word, which is the Lord Jesus, we can discover things about our Heavenly Father. That's why in the book of Hebrews, it's a very significant passage of Scripture. It might be worth turning there. In Hebrews chapter 1, when the writer of Hebrews is explaining how Jesus is above everybody, prophets, kings, priests, angels, the sacrifices, He is above all. We read there in Hebrews chapter 1, it says there in verses 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, or we could say His Word, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And so God used to speak to us through the prophets, and that's how He revealed His will and His desires and so on. But in the last days, or in these days of the Scriptures, God has revealed Himself to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. And as Jesus said, or as John says in John chapter 1, here in verse 18, he says, "No man hath seen God at any time. Only the begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." And so Jesus is the one who declares the will of God. He communicates the desires of God, the wishes of God, and what He is really like. But John goes on to show us that the Word, who is Jesus, is deity Himself. He's not like the prophets. He's not like an angel. He's not like any of those. He is God Himself. As we see there, in the beginning was the Word. And so, He was there at the beginning. The Word was there from the very beginning. He wasn't created at the beginning. At the beginning of time, as we know it, He was there. He was there for all eternity in the beginning. And He was with God. That shows us that He was a part of the Trinity. As we read in 1 John chapter 5, it says that there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus, the Word, was there with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And then He says He wasn't just with God, the Word was God. And so Jesus is God Himself. But John doesn't end there when it comes to declaring the deity of Christ. He also says in verse 3, it says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Jesus, the Word, is the creator of all things. I think this is good to understand. There is nothing that's been made that wasn't made by Jesus. Now, if Jesus was created, well, that would eliminate that little phrase, wouldn't it? Because, no, there was, if Jesus was a created being, well, then there was one thing that He didn't make. But it says there that all things were made by Him. How could you make all things if you were made yourself? No, he was God, eternal, in the eternals. Also, we see that he is the source of life. In him was life, verse 4. Where do you receive life? That is, that connection with God and that eternal life that we all pursue. It is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's important. There is another verse which we won't turn to, but John says that he writes this gospel so that we may know Jesus, because it's in him there is eternal life. And so he is the source of all life. You want eternal life? Well, then you need to have the Lord Jesus. You want to have real life here, and you want to have fellowship with God, which is true life. It is all found through the Lord Jesus himself. And he is the source of light as well. And the life was light, was the light of men. And the life was the light of men. Without Jesus, there is only darkness. Where he is, there is light. And so in these first four verses, John presents Jesus to his readers as the eternal one. He was there in the beginning as a part of the Godhead. He was with God. He was God himself. He was God, he said. He is the creator. He is the source of life. And he is the light giver. And he is the one who reveals the invisible God to mankind as the Word. And so verses 1 to 4 is packed with so many beautiful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it shows that he was more than just a man, but he was God himself. But after that, in verses 6 to 10, and we'll add verse 14 in that, John then reveals Christ's humanity. John next makes mention in these passages of John the Baptist. Let's have a read of it. He says there in verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." So there's a lot of Johns in this passage, just like there are in our church. All right? And Phil's, but there's no Phil in the Bible. Oh, there is, sorry, what am I saying? I didn't learn that in Bible college. There was a Philip, of course. Oh dear. Not in this chapter. There you go, that's what I was hoping to mean. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And if we have it, look at verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so John the Apostle mentions John the Baptist and how he was sent to bear witness of the light, who is the Lord Jesus. That's another word for him as well. He's the door, he's the Word, and he's the light. Should do a little series on the names of Jesus. Maybe it might end up being that. But John makes it clear that John the Baptist wasn't the light himself. But I'm interested in what John says about the light, because in reference to the light, John the Apostle says he was in the world. That's what we find there in verse 10. He was in the world. So this light, the Lord Jesus, was in this world. Now, how was he in the world? Did he open up the heavens and we behold his glory and majesty? Is that how Jesus was in the world? Well, no, that wasn't the case. Did Jesus come to earth in all his glory, where his countenance shone brighter than the sun? Now that would be amazing, isn't it, if that's how Jesus came to this earth? People would have noticed. People would have certainly taken notice of what Jesus had to say. But he didn't open up the heavens, he didn't come in all his glory. Instead, the invisible God wrapped himself in human flesh and revealed himself to us as a man. That's what we have there in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I like how the Apostle Paul says it in 1 Timothy 3:16, where he says, God was manifest in the flesh. That's another way. God has revealed himself to us in the flesh. That's an amazing statement in itself. God came to our world as a man. And that's the second important part of the gospel message. The first one is that Jesus is God himself. That's why he could pay for the sin, our sins. But God, the second part is that God became a man and dwelt among us. So he could die for us. And that's why Jesus is also referred to as Emmanuel, God with us. And so God, the Word, who was there at the beginning, was with God and was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, I doubt that Jerusalem ever got a visit from Caesar. If they did get a visit from Caesar, could you imagine the fuss? I don't think Caesar would want to go down to Jerusalem at that time. They were a bunch of rebels and so on. But if he did go, could you imagine the fuss? They would have treated him as a god. That's how much fuss they would have made of him. But what happened when God himself came to his creation and came to Jerusalem and came to these areas? How did they treat him and how did they fuss over him? Well, John tells us what happened when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And what we see is Christ's humiliation, also found in these passages. Because in verses 10 and 11, John shows us two ways Jesus was humiliated. Verse 10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So God came to the world that he made, and the world didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. Now, you could probably excuse the Gentiles. They didn't have the scriptures to have the will of God and the things of God revealed to them. But his own people, the Jews, they had the scriptures. They had the prophecies. It was made clear that the Messiah and God himself would reveal himself and he would do miracles. And there was prophecy after prophecy that was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. He performed the miracles as he said he would. There was the grace and love of the Lord Jesus. And they should have known that this is indeed the King of Heaven who has come to earth and revealed himself. But it says that they knew him not. How disappointing would that be? The one you created. The ones you created didn't even recognize you. But it gets worse because it says, verse 11, he came unto his own, and that would be the people of the Jewish people, and his own received him not. Out of all of God's creation, the Jewish nation should have received him. But they didn't either. It says they received him not. And I think that word received him not is probably a very understated reference to their actions toward the Lord Jesus. Yes, they didn't accept him as the Messiah. They didn't acknowledge him as God. And that alone is a terrible sin. But that they certainly went further than that. We know that the leaders plotted to kill him. We know that the people demanded to have him executed and the priests and the scribes yelled the loudest to have him crucified. His own people watched him carry that cross down the street and they jeered at him and spat upon him. And then when he hung on the cross, they made fun of him. They certainly, when it says they received him not, that's probably a very light word. It wasn't like, thanks, but no thanks, Jesus. That's sort of the idea when you get, they received him not. But it went far deeper than that. It meant they refused to believe what he had, and they sought to slay him for making himself out to be God. And so John tells us the third step of the gospel message. And the third step of showing someone how to get saved, we see that Jesus is God himself. He can pay the sins. He came as a man and became flesh for us, and then he was humiliated by dying upon a cross. He was rejected by his own, and in that encompasses so much, where they refused to believe him and they nailed him to a cross. As Isaiah 53 says, he was despised and rejected of men. Now, if John ended the story there, what a sad state that would be. God revealed himself to man, and mankind killed him. When you think of it, wouldn't it be much of a God, will it, would it, if that's where it ended? There's a lot of people who said that they're God, and they're being killed, and that's the last you hear of them, because they weren't God in the flesh. But that isn't the end of the story, because Jesus, we know, rose from the dead. John doesn't explain that to us in this first chapter. But we know as the Gospel of John goes through, at the end of this Gospel, he reveals how, yes, he was rejected by his people. He was crucified on that cross, and he died, and then he rose again the third day. And that's a beautiful thing, a beautiful part of that gospel story. He wasn't left in the grave, but he rose again for us, which shows us that he was God the Son. He was certainly the source of life, and the grave couldn't hold him, and he had paid the penalty for our sin in full. And that's the beautiful story of the gospel. But thankfully, John does go on and tell us one beautiful piece of news. And it's found in verse 12. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Talks about how he came to the world and they didn't know him. He came to his own and they received him not. But John does give us this good news, and that is, "But to as many as do receive the Lord Jesus, to them has he given the power," or really the ability and the privilege, "to become a child of God." And that is the good news. And we, John tells us here and in his epistle as well, that the way that we have this eternal life is by receiving the Lord Jesus and having him in our hearts and our life. Over in the epistle of John, in 1 John chapter 5, we have some beautiful verses. It might be worth turning there if you have your Bible. Hopefully you have it memorized. I have, but I'm too scared to try and do it. But in John chapter 5, in verse 11 it says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life." Isn't that good news? That God wants to give us eternal life. But how do we have this? "And this life is in his Son." Who is the source of life? Jesus. That's why we need to have him and receive him. And it goes on and it says there, "He that hath the Son hath life." If you have received the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior and not rejected him like those many of his people when he came the first time, but you have received him as God, receive him as God in the flesh, received and understood and believed that he died on that cross in your place, and that he died and he rose again, and you receive him as your Savior, the one who paid the penalty for your sin, it says you have life. But it says there in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And that's the two different types of people in this world. Since the day that Jesus rose from the dead, there are those who hath the Son, and those who have received Him as their Lord and Savior have life. And then there are those who have rejected the Son, rejected that He is God, rejected that He's God in the flesh, rejected that He died on the cross for them, or they don't need it, whatever, but they reject that gospel news, and they don't have the Son. And the sad thing is, they don't have life. No eternal life. In fact, they are dead in their trespasses and sins. They are cut off from God until that day they receive Him. And I'd like to just put to you a simple question for tonight. We see as John the Apostle revealed his friend who he spent 3 years with, his Lord who he followed, and then discovered he was his Savior as well, understanding that He was God in the flesh. As He reveals who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and He revealed it to many people of His day, and then in His writing, there were those who believed this and received Jesus. And there were many who rejected that. Would you sit here or be one who says, I have received Jesus. I have the Son. There was a day when I realized I was a sinner and I needed cleansing and forgiveness, and I realized that Jesus was the only way. And I have received Him as my Savior. Can you sit here and say, I am one who have received Jesus. I have the Son. Well, if you do, this is the promise from God, you have life. You don't have to wonder, hope, in the sense of, oh, I wonder and hope it happens. No, you can be sure of it. You have life in Him. Yet if you're someone that has not received, well then you are by nature rejecting and you don't have the Son. And so they're the two categories. And John wanted everyone to know his friend Jesus was truly God in the flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus. Thank You that He was willing to come and pay the penalty for our sin in full. Thank You that we don't have to work, do any extra little bits to pay the penalty. In fact, we have to acknowledge we can't do anything except receive Your forgiveness on the basis of what Jesus did. We thank You for that. We acknowledge and understand that when we have the Son, we have life. And in this life, we're able to live as You would have us to live. And we can live a sanctified life that is pleasing to You and which brings glory to You. And help us all to do that and to seek to please You as children of the light. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.